First of all, I'd like to thank the Governance Committee for presenting my talk today. So, the title of my talk is Novel Paramagnetic Phase in Molten Insulator with DMIT Compound. My name is Yuji Matsuda. Let me first mention my collaborators. Most of the measurements have been done by Minoru Yamashita and Watanabe and Shibauchi, Kyoto University. Yamashita moved to Riken recently. All of the crystal has been grown by Yamamoto and Kato, and magnetization measurements have been done in collaboration with Terashima Uji, NIMS, Cameron Benia, ESPCI, and Ilya Shaking, Grunov. So, in my talk, I'd like to start with the introduction. Then I talk about quantum spin rigid state in this material. Then discuss elementary excitations and phase diagram of the quantum spin rigid. And after that, I will discuss a novel Pauli paramagnetic phase in the Molten Insulator. Then I summarize my talk. I need not to discuss a quantum spin rigid in front of many experts. Notion of the quantum spin rigid is well established in 1D. For example, in 1D XXZ chain, there is no long range order, and the excitation is gapless, and the spin correlation function decays with distance with power dependence. The situation in two and three dimensions, situations is a little bit complicated. It is widely believed that the geometrical fluctuation fluctuations are required to stabilize a quantum spin rigid. So unfortunately, there are only a few candidate materials exist. Most famous examples are Torrengar and Kagome and Pyrochlor lattices. So today, I would like to discuss mainly the Torrengar lattice system. As far as I'm aware, we have only two candidates so far, the helium-3 on graphite and organic compound. So kappa ET and VMIT and I forget the name, very recently, the third material has been discovered. Let me discuss this. Today I want to discuss DMIT. As discussed by many speakers, this material, there are 2D layers of paradigm DMIT molecules, which are magnetic, are separated by non-magnetic cation layers. And the DMIT molecules are dimerized. And this dimer has spin 1/2. So because of this dimerization, system become half-field Molten Insulator. And the interaction of Hopping integrals between dimers are nearly same. So this compound has spin 1/2 triangular lattice. The advantage of this material is that very clean single crystals are available. And many material variants can be prepared. Actually, this figure has been shown by many speakers today. By changing the cation, we can change from antiferromagnetic long range order to charge order. In between, quantum spin rigid appears. Actually, bulk magnetization shows eccentric constant is nearly 250 Kelvin. And NMR and μSR in zero field show no evidence of the magnetic ordering down to very low temperature. In particular, NMR experiment done by Ito shows that NMR spectrum remains the same down to as low as 20 millikelvin, which corresponds to the temperature nearly 10,000 lower than J, eccentric constant. So this is why we believe the ground state of this material is quantum spin rigid. Let me discuss the anisotropy of triangular lattice of this system. Let me define under J and J prime according to this arrangement. So J prime over J characterize the anisotropy of the system. So this definition of J prime and J is different from the previous speaker. In zero limit, it is 1D, and infinite limit, it is 2D square lattice. So these materials can be, we can place these materials to here and here. Actually, the EDR triangular lattice is realized in Helium 3 on graphite. This will be discussed by Fukuyama in this conference. So in organic compound, using the ab initio calculations by Rosa Barantis group, show J prime J is nearly 1.2 in this material. And in ab initio calculation by Imada's group on this DMIT compound, the J prime shows J prime over J nearly 0.83. So this means this kappa ET compound is closer to 2D square lattice. On the other hand, this DMIT compound close to 1D. Okay, coming back to DMIT compound, most important subject is what kind of quantum semi-liquid state is realized in this system. This leads to two key questions. The elementary excitations, namely the gapped or gapless, magnetic or non-magnetic. The second question concerns phase diagram. How the nature of the quantum semi-liquid varies when tuned by non-thermal parameters, such as, I want to discuss this subject. So let me start with gapped or gapless. This is a result shown by S. Yamashita today. The red shows the result of the specific heat of spin liquid, and green shows the result of the specific heat of charge order compound. What is important is the residual specific heat, which gamma is nearly 20 millijoule per Kelvin square mole. This indicates a gapless excitation. However, we need to be very careful because, as discussed by Minoru Yamashita, the specific heat is contaminated by large shot peak contributions at low temperatures. Therefore, the specific heat cannot measure cannot measure low temperature region. Actually, this is a result of the thermal conductivity measured by M. Yamashita. The thermal conductivity has advantage because thermal conductivity can probe the elementary excitations at low temperatures very reliably. This is because, unlike specific heat, thermal conductivity is not affected by localized impurities. And thermal conductivity is not contaminated by shot peak contribution. So this figure shows a thermal conductivity of a spin liquid compound along with charge order difference. So assuming the same contribution, same phonon contribution, the difference between two lines is a spin contribution. What is important is a residual thermal conductivity at T equals zero limit. So this clear residual thermal conductivity provides direct evidence for gapless excitation. Thermal conductivity is related to the specific heat. So if we take C over T nearly 20 millijoule per Kelvin square mole, we obtain the mean free path as large as 0.5 micrometer, which is more than 5 times larger than the interspin distance. This indicates excitation is itinerant, and the system is quite homogeneous with a long correlation length. Actually, as discussed by Yamashita, this is quantum spin liquid is very good thermal conductor. So you can realize this by comparing brass like this. So this means quantum spin liquid conduct as same as a 1 euro coin. Okay, Okay, so having established that there are elementary excitations containing a gapless component, next important question is, are they magnetic? To clarify this point, this is very important for understanding the spin-spin correlation function. Actually, if gapless, the spin-spin correlation function is the case with power dependence, as in the 1D spin 1/2 Heisenberg chains. On the other hand, if gapped, spin-spin correlation function is exponential, as in the Hardin system. Okay, to clarify this issue, we measured uniform susceptibility and magnetization at low temperatures. Unfortunately, conventional squid magnetometer, we cannot measure below 4 Kelvin because of the large Curie contribution. Therefore, we developed a new technique. So we measured the magnetic torque and combined the ESR technique, electron spin resonance technique. Using this technique, we can go down to 30 millikelvin and up to 32 tesla. So the advantage of this technique is torque picks up only anisotropic component and isotropic contribution from impurities, impurity is canceled. And it has very high sensitivity. Actually, measurement on tiny single crystals are possible. So our left figure is a temperature dependence of the susceptibility at 7 tesla. And the right figure shows a magnetization up to 70 tesla at 30 millikelvin. In both cases, we measure the magnetic field perpendicular to the plane. Where the magnetization increases nearly linearly with H from very low field to 17 tesla. So I want to emphasize that the magnetic susceptibility is temperature independent and remains finite at T equals zero here, as shown by this figure. This provides a strong evidence that the gapless excitations are magnetic. In other words, spin gap is absent. Because the gap is zero, the magnetic correlation length is becoming infinite. That is to say, quantum spin limit is in a critical state. And the spin-spin correlation function shows a power of dependence. The next important question is a phase diagram of the quantum spin limit. In other words, how the quantum spin rigid changes when the degree of frustration varies. This can be achieved by deuteration of the cation layer. So actually, as shown by Yamashita, the deuteration changes the low temperature specific heat dramatically. Actually, C over T, of the freezing sample is 20 millijoule per Kelvin square mole. But in the deuterized crystals, this increases by a factor of 2. The cathode group speculate the deuteration reduces J prime over J, and subsequently, specific heat changes dramatically. I'm not concern about the detailed mechanism of the enhancement. It is reasonable that the deuteration changes the degree of geometrical frustration because it dramatically changes the specific heat. Now, I'd like to add the result of the deuteration to this same figure, to this figure. So as you see, the both pristine and deuterated system shows a nearly temperature-dependent susceptibility and nearly H-linear magnetization. So the both systems exhibit essentially the same paramagnetic behavior with gapless magnetic excitation. And the magnitude of the magnetic susceptibility decreases nearly 20%. So this indicates both systems are in the critical state, down to the temperature correspond to J to the 10,000. Okay, now we are at the position to discuss the phase diagram of the quantum spin rigid. Theoretically, we have two scenarios. The first case is we have a quantum critical point, which separates multiple long range order and gapped spin rigid. In other words, quantum critical point appears at the order disorder transition. So in this case, multi-correlation lengths diverges with approaching a quantum critical point, and gapless spin rigid is realized only at the quantum critical point. The quantum critical region is extended, and quantum critical phase appears. So the I discussed many solutions, and all solutions mentioned. Case one is easier to understand. However, I would like to remind you, Fristin HDMIT and deuterated DDMIT sample have different degree of frustration. This means they occupy the different position in the same phase diagram. So nevertheless, I want to emphasize, they exhibit essentially the same parametric behavior with gapless magnetic excitation. So we can place this compound here and here. So this result indicates case two is more appropriate. So in other words, there is an extended quantum critical phase rather than the quantum critical point in this quantum spin rigid. Okay, so next question is character of the excitations. Are the excitation fermionic or bosonic? Because gapless Nambu-Goldstone boson appears in this part of the phase diagram, actually the multi-order long-range order state. Therefore, the appearance of another gapless bosonic excitation in another part of phase diagram seems unlikely. Also, it is not impossible. So this indicates a fermionic excitation appears to be more likely in this phase diagram. But let me be more quantitative. We have done a simple test, a simple thermodynamic test, assuming two-dimensional fermion with Fermi surface. The specific coefficient, C over T, gamma, is estimated from the observed Pauli susceptibility is 55 millijoule per Kelvin square mole. This value is comparable to the is the same order of the 20 millijoule per Kelvin square mole measured by heat capacity. And Fermi temperature estimated by Pauli susceptibility is nearly 500 Kelvin. Again, this value is in the same order of exchange constant. So moreover, Newton ratio, the ratio of susceptibility and gamma, is 2.83 for pristine sample and 1.41 for deuterated sample. These values are close to the conventional metal. These indicate that the elementary excitations behave like Fermi liquid. So the this point to a new phase in the motor insulator. So actually, this phase indicates the spin excitations behave as in Pauli parametric metal with Fermi surface, even though the charge degree of freedom are frozen, as suggested by Senju. Then now, let me mention briefly the comparison with theories. A new phase in a motor insulator have been proposed by these groups based on Harvard model. However, we need to be careful because the energy resolution of these calculations are not enough to discuss low energy excitation. So It remains open question whether our phase corresponds to any of these phases. So because our gapless spinning liquid has been proposed by many groups, because our quantum spinning liquid state shows a Fermi liquid like excitations, I'd like to focus on this category, spin liquid with spin on Fermi surface. Actually, the U1 spin liquid with spin on Fermi surface has been discussed by these groups. But in this case, the system does not show the Fermi liquid behavior, which is inconsistent with the experiment. So the spin on Fermi surface instability has been proposed. For example, spin liquid with a nodal spin on Fermi surface with D-wave pairing instability has been proposed by these authors. In this case, finite density of state appears by the disorder, similar to the D-wave superconductor. However, I'm not sure this is consistent with extremely long mean free path observed in the thermal conductivity measurements. Very recently, D2 spin liquid with a pseudo Fermi surface or pair density wave have been suggested by proposed by these authors. In this case, gap opens up only on a small portion of the Fermi surface. So in this case, they predict a system breaks both time reversal and inversion symmetries. However, such a symmetry breaking have never been observed so far. Okay, let me mention the remaining questions concerning the spin of Fermi surface. As discussed by Minoru Yamashita, we measure the thermal hole effect. Actually, these authors predict the thermal hole effect. But we never observe the discernible thermal hole angle. And we tried the quantum oscillations, because this is predicted by Mitronic. So we went to France, and we cooled down the sample 30 millikelvin. We applied 35 tesla. But we never observed the discernible oscillations. So the actually result was negative. So the but some theoreticians think the coupling between the magnetic field and gauge flux may be weak. Another remaining question is phase transition. Actually, the phase transition at 1K has been suggested by NMR-T1. However, I'd like to make this comment. Actually, no anomaly has been observed in specific heat and thermal conductivity and susceptibility at 1 Kelvin, where the NMR anomaly is observed. And recent result of California University shows the NMR anomaly strongly depend on RF frequency. And near 1K, NMR decay curve deviate from single exponential. This makes the definition of T1 ambiguous. Therefore, the NMR T1 anomaly at 1K is unlikely to be a signature of a transition, but rather a phenomenon related to slow spin dynamics. So the, until now, it is safe to say there has been no evidence of the phase transition in this compound. Okay, let me summarize my talk. I discussed elementary excitation and the phase diagram of the quantum spin liquid in this compound. We found the presence of gapless and magnetic excitations. And we established the phase diagram, which features a quantum critical phase rather than a quantum critical point. And we show that the character of the excitations is likely to be Fermionic. Considering all these, spin excitations behave as in polyparametric metal with Fermi surface, even though the charge degree of freedom are frozen. This indicates a novel polyparametric phase in the motor insulator. So the, in the near future, we wish to address the following issues urgently. So is there any phase transition at the final temperature? So if so, what kind of symmetry breaking occurs? Time reversal, translational, rotational? Our future plans are to measure the thermal expansion, which is very sensitive to translational symmetry breaking. And magnetic torque anisotropy measurement, which is very sensitive to rotational symmetry breaking. So actually, developed a technique which can probe the broken rotational symmetry very accurately. Actually, we found the rotational symmetry breaking in the hidden order phase of uranium ruthenium 2 silicon 2 and this ion pre-clad superconductors above the superconducting transition temperature. We are planning to do this experiment to a quantum spin liquid system after coming back to Japan. So we also are planning to do the X-ray irradiation experiment because we are very interested in the impedance effect. So we did not give up the quantum oscillation and thermal hole measurement. So we are planning to measure these quantities up to higher fields. Okay. Thank you very much.
I have a comment on on the what you said about these spin liquid and Fermi surface. The result you quote about thermal conductivity that we have is for pure system, no disorder at all.
Yeah.
I think once you have disorder, we expect kappa over T to be constant. So.
Okay.
So I think that part is okay.
Thank you.
But I also want to ask. This prediction of T to the 2/3, is the data good enough to distinguish between T to the 2/3 and linear T?
Yeah, I think the data is good enough to distinguish.
You think so? The specific heat data?
Specific heat, I don't know, but it is contaminated by large Shotoki anomaly. So it's very, in my opinion, it's very difficult to subtract Shotoki anomaly at low temperature.
Yeah, so the range is quite limited. So that's the question whether. That's something we should worry about seriously at this point.
So the deuterated compound, the specific heat is field independent?
This one?
Yeah.
This is not my measurement, sir.
Okay. Is it field independent or not?
Independent, this one. The deuterated compound.
Yeah.
I think it's for the physical
up to 10 tensors is field independent. I also got a bit confused about this numbers for the Wilson ratio. I thought for the pristine system and all the numbers that was given by Satoshi was near 1.
Yeah, okay.
But you said that it's near 2.
Yes, our Satoshi measurement is twice as large as the squid measurement. That's why.
Oh, I see.
And actually, this squid measurement has been done by the polycrystal, but our measurement has been done single crystal. But I don't know why.
Factor 2 is very big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry?
Anisotropy.
Squid measurement has been done as a polycrystal. They cannot measure the anisotropy. But the torque measurement, we are measuring anisotropy. So we cannot define the absolute value of the anisotropy.
So you're sensitive only to the anisotropic part?
Yes. And the anisotropy is coming from the G factor.
Uh-huh.
So you determine the G factor by ESR.
Oh, I see.
Actually, this one. This is a result of torque result. And this is a result of anisotropic G factor by ESR. So completely fitted by the G factor. That's why we can estimate the chi.
I see. So the absolute value is very sensitive to this G factor measurement. Right?
Yes,
because
but we can determine G factor pretty accurately.
Right, I see.
So,
In the magnetization versus field plots, there was some fine structure. Is it real or is it just noise?
I think it's noise. You think this one? Yeah, yes, no, I think it's common noise. Because it's a very low field experiment. So the torque is proportional to h square. So the we have some ambiguity, some error over here. So very hard to measure the magnetic torque at such a low field.
My question is on the torque measurements. Yeah. And these materials consist of the planar molecules. So this planar molecule has anisotropic core diamagnetism. It's quite different from the usual core diamagnetism of the atomic. Yeah. So is there any possibility that the magnetic anisotropy you probed is due to the temperature independent or anisotropy in core diamagnetism?
No, we can rule out this possibility because, as I mentioned, torque anisotropy is coupling scaled by the G factor measured by ESR.
And they also, in the sense of the directions, also in directions?
Yeah, and the core magnetization is the same as this and this here. Uh-huh. It's completely canceled.
But usually, to my knowledge, the anisotropy in the core diamagnetism is larger than the paramagnetic anisotropy in the paramagnetism, usually. But anyway.
Yeah, but in this case, we can scale the ESR. So we just made we are measuring the anisotropy coming from the DMT molecules, the spin of the DMT molecule. Yeah, DMT molecules.
But you're not measuring the core, right? You're not measuring the diamagnetic. Diamagnetism in this in the G factor.
Yeah.
In ESR. Yes, but yeah. But he's measuring the anisotropic part. To derive the absolute value, you need to know also the anisotropy of the core diamagnetism. I think. We should discuss. I'm a little worried about the absolute number now. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
Just a quick question, because you said that this system is gapless. Did anyone do NMR relaxation rate to see how 1 over T1T behaves as a function of temperature? Did he show up? Oh, I missed it.
No, it's not. I mean.
So this is a result of NMR.
But it's not single. It's not a single exponential decay. So it's hard to interpret, as far as I understand.
Yeah. Okay. If the gapless, it shows a T1T constant, should be observed.
What is the magnetic field in which this NMR has been done? And is it sensitive? You said it was sensitive on radio frequency.
I think that
is to field also, external field.
This measurement, I forgot the number. Mm-hmm.
5 or 6. Mr. Brown changed the magnetic field, and then this peak formation is shifted to lower temperature. Very sensitive in this material.
Peak temperature increase.
I don't know, but perhaps I can comment that could be a phase transition due to the external magnetic field that you are seeing at low temperature. Because it's suspect at high temperature, I would understand that it is a spin liquid. But if you put a very large magnetic field and if you are near a quantum point transition. You can, with the magnetic field, cross the transition and go to a frozen phase.
But the exchange constant of this material is nearly 350 Kelvin.
Yes, sure, but you don't know where are the phase transition towards.
Oh, but there is no evidence of that. Phase transition.
If it changes with the magnetic field, something is going on.
No, nothing happens in the phase peak and thermal conductivity and susceptibility. Even if you change the magnetic field.
Other questions? Well, we can finish exactly on time. Thank all the speakers.